That was our first call, and we didn't do too well with it. So while they're working on it, the Elves, I think of them as Elves, they're actually the engineering staff. While they're working at it, we have another gentleman at the mic. Sir, what's your name?
My name's Rodney Carter.
Okay, so I think we don't have his mic up either.
My name is
Rodney Carter.
Rodney Carter. Yes. Hi, Rodney. Thank you very much for coming to the mic. Are you a homeless person, Rodney?
Well, I'm kind of semi-homeless.
Okay.
And what happened was, I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri, and I've been out here since 2003. And on and off through the years, you know, I had a lot of jobs, and sometimes I've been laid off and things like that. But as far as homelessness goes, my opinion is, you know, a lot of people could have put a lot of us down. But the thing about it is, a lot of us are really trying to do the best we can, you know. And sometimes when we lose our jobs and then our houses, then we'd have no choice but to go and get help from other places. And I know for a fact that a lot of us are truly trying to change their lives around. You know, a lot of people do drugs or alcohol, but a lot of people that's homeless don't do drugs or alcohol. Mm-hmm. See, they just lost their job or their home, or something went wrong in their life where they ended up on the street, okay? But a lot of things that the people do, you know, the companies or whatever they donate to the homeless shelters, whatever, you know, a lot of us really do appreciate that. And we appreciate all the help that they give us.
Are you in a shelter now?
No, I'm not. I'm kind of like, well, I was a couple of days ago until I moved to my mother's house, you know, and she's helping me out right now, but I'm sitting by, you know, and I'm helping her out at the same time, you know, because she's an older woman and stuff. And I mean, I really appreciate all the help that everybody's doing, you know. And then actually, when I saw the thing on the news about them throwing people's stuff away, I thought that was pretty bad also. Just because people are living on the street don't mean that they not worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people still have their hopes and dreams that they want to go do. And if they do stuff like that, they destroy a whole lot of hopes and dreams that people have.
Now, Rodney, you make a good point here, though, which is that you have family and you're able to rely on your mom and help her. She helps you. That's what people do. But
not all the time, though.
Well,
sometimes I've been like just really stuck out there, you know.
Sometimes that's the way it is for all of us. Yeah. But the thing is, if someone doesn't have family and they're out on the street, it's a lot harder.
Well, I've been there. I mean, I haven't been in Fresno all my life or Kansas City. I've been other places like San Diego and Seattle and things, you know. And I was living on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to do the best I can. I had to carry my bag. Like the time I was in L.A. and Santa Monica, I had to carry my bag around with all my clothes in it. I had to get up and keep myself clean, keep my clothes washed. And I had to do this every day until I found something better to do. Like, you know, I had to go get a job. And then when I had the chance to get a job, that's when a lot of things changed for me.
Did you ever stay in a shelter?
Yes, I have.
And are the shelters good or bad that you've stayed
in? Well, the ones I've stayed in, I have no problem with them because I know they are there to help me, see.
Right.
So I do the best I can, you know. I mean, a lot of them don't have everything you want, but they have most of the things that you need, you know.
Well, you hear different things. Some shelters, they say there's a lot of violence. Some shelters, they're not. So I don't know.
Well, it depends on how you are.
You think?
Mm. Yeah.
Have you been in the rescue mission here in Fresno?
Yeah, I stayed there a couple of days ago.
And how did you feel about that?
I had no problem with it. The food was good. The service, they had a church service and everything about Jesus Christ. And as far as the people, they were very nice to me.
That's good to
hear. I had no problem with them at all.
So we got to vote for the food at the rescue mission.
Oh, yes. It's good.
We're gonna be serving food here in a little while, and I hope that you'll think our food is as good. The food not bombs is bringing food.
Yes.
But, you know, we're going to try and measure up to the rescue mission's food. I can't promise you, though.
Well, I just want to say a last word, that I hope that a lot of people out there in the world don't look at homeless people. At all homeless people are being bad or whatever, because all of them are not drunks or alcoholics or drug addicts. A lot of them, like I said, still have their hopes and dreams and very much trying to do the best they can until things happen better, you know.
Very good. Thank you very much, Rodney, for making that contribution and for speaking with us here on the marathon. Thank you. Do we have Helen on the phone now from Ithaca? Are we able to take
line
the call?
Line one.
Okay, line one. Let's have line one then. Helen, are you there? Helen. I don't think we have Helen, I'm sorry to say. Okay, something has to be fixed with the phone. So, Cynthia, one of the charges that's been made here, and by the way, this is live radio, folks, so we will have a few glitches. One of the things that has been said is that the American Civil Liberties Union lawyers and the other people who have helped in the lawsuit against the city They're just using you. They're exploiting you. They've got a political agenda. They don't care about you. They're not the ones who care about you. Maybe it's the people throwing your belongings away or the ones who care about you. How do you feel about the lawyers? How do you feel about the people who worked with you on the lawsuit? Are they exploiting you or helping you?
Well, first, we're all human beings, okay? They have a job. They get paid. That's their job. They do their job. Very excellent, okay? Now, coming in and helping us has, I mean, they couldn't do it if they weren't lawyers and knew what they were doing and had contacts to where we as homeless are swept under the blanket. Mm-hmm. They can't be swept under the blanket. You see what I'm saying?
So you need them?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Okay. Joanna, how do you feel? They've helped you or just used you, those lawyers?
They've helped.
Into the mic, Joanna.
They've helped.
So, like, I mean, you hear this. I mean, Bill O'Reilly and other people, Heather McDonald, if anybody out there knows who she is, there are a lot of people who say, advocates for the homeless, of which I am one, they say, oh, they're just using them to promote their political agenda and they don't care about homeless people. And we're the bad guys, anybody who's on your side. Is that your impression of the people who have been in the lawsuit? Have they been nice to you, for instance?
Very nice.
And Pam, what would be your answer to that?
They're not using us. We're using them.
Well,
we're using them to get our message out, mm-hmm. and for help.
And in the same way anybody uses a lawyer, right?
Exactly.
They're helping you as professionals.
Yes. They're professional, and they have been nothing but kind.
But we don't hide the truth here. Do they treat you all with dignity?
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Al, have you been treated with dignity by the lawyers?
We've been treated so well, we named them the Dream Team, too.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear it. At the microphone, we have Julie at the microphone. Welcome to the Homelessness Marathon, Julie.
We just had a brand new little boy named Nevaeh.
Congratulations.
And
are you a homeless person, Julie?
I was out there.
And you're not home. You're in a house now?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're all very glad for you and for your baby that you're in a house. Mm-hmm.
But for them, I'm speaking out for them. They need to focus on getting shelter for them. They need to focus on getting them off the street. They need to focus on a little bit more than they're doing. Instead of, people bring food, but that ain't the issue here. The issue is getting shelter for these people and getting them off the street. That's what everybody needs to focus on, because they need to get somewhere warm. I've been out there and I know, and they don't care about us. They don't care about us.
How did you get off of the streets, Julie? Everybody wants to hear that.
You know, it was hard. Because the county, when you go up there, they treat you really bad because you were on the street. So when you go to the county and you ask for help, it's like you're nothing because you were out there and you were. But I'm a little bit strong, and I just forced the issue and I got off.
Okay, now I want to go back over this point. Because, again, I'm not just picking on Fresno.
Okay.
What's going on here in Fresno is going on the same
everywhere,
or worse in New York, in Chicago, in Los Angeles. But the point is,
there's a lot of them right now.
A lot of them. You are an American citizen. You are on the streets, and you go to the welfare office, whatever they call it, Department of Social Services.
And they treat you like crap.
And they don't give you any real help, is what you're saying?
That's right. They treat you like you're nothing.
Okay, so did they help you at all?
They helped me after I pushed it and pushed it and pushed it.
So you're saying you have to have a lot of fortitude to get any help.
Oh, yeah.
They're not making it easy, is what
you're saying. They're not making it easy for nobody, and that's not fair.
And what did they do for you?
I finally got help with homeless, which they should be getting just like I am. Mm-hmm. They finally put me up in a room like they should be getting like I am. And I feel bad for these people. I still go out there and I still watch my cousin live on the street, and it hurts.
I can see how much you feel this, and because you've been there.
I've been there.
And you know how hard that is. Well, I thank you so much for coming forward and sharing your story. And I can see the pain you feel. And yet, you know, I think
they're human.
It's a good thing.
Beings, too.
It just shows people do care about each other. And I tell you, I've been doing this 10 years. I truly believe most Americans do care about the poor. It's our leadership that's not good in this country. I don't think it's the heart of our people. That's my personal opinion.
I believe that, and I feel that.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I am told by the engineering staff that we can try again to take a phone call. They climbed Mount Everest. They've circumnavigated the globe, and here on the Homelessness Marathon, we're going to take a phone call. Have I got Helen from Ithaca here? I got Joanne. Have I got Joanne from somewhere? Have I got Joanne?
Hi.
Hi, Joanne. Welcome to the Homelessness Marathon.
Thank you.
We're not hearing you too well, Joanne. Where are you?
Thank you so much for doing Food Not Bombs.
Well, thank you. Actually, this is the Homelessness Marathon, but we're working with Food Not Bombs. Joanne, where are you in the United States?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, great. And you're listening on Mighty KBOO over in Oregon there.
Yes, that's correct.
One of my favorite stations. We originated the Homelessness Marathon there. Joanne, have you been homeless?
Yes, I have. And I might be again in a week.
Oh, God forbid, Joanne. Why might you be homeless? What's going on?
A couple years ago at work, I suffered some spinal injuries. And the legal system isn't fair, or honest. And I think that I agree with you entirely that I think it's the head of government that is the problem. But I got hurt and I'm disabled, but not certifiably yet because Social Security is difficult.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going
to. So I can't work.
Well, I'm very sorry about that. I want the people out there to know we're going to do an international hour. We do every year. We highlight different countries. And in the past, you know, we've talked to people who were in Switzerland or Denmark, and one of the things that's really, really important for Americans to know, that if you're in one of those countries and you are about to lose your housing and you go to the office for help, they actually help you. And the first thing they do is they make sure you don't lose your housing, and they don't treat you bad. I'm sure those countries have got a lot of problems, too, but they don't have homeless people on their streets because they actually do something. Have you tried to get help? Joanne, have you tried to get help? Have we lost Joanne?
I think we lost Joanne.
Okay, I think we lost Joanne. So let me go back to my distinguished panel here. Cynthia, at this point, how many years have you been homeless?
Going on 7 now.
Going on 7 into the mic. So Cynthia, do you have any hope of getting out of homelessness at this point?
Oh, of course.
And are you making any effort to do it? What's going to get you out, do you think?
Me.
That's a good answer, but do you think you have any realistic chance of getting a job at this point or anything like that?
Getting a job is not the point. I'm self-employed. The point is not having the system come in periodically, twice a week, and disrupt what I'm trying to do.
Well, what kind of employment are you doing?
I'm a professional recycler.
Oh, there you go.
I work side jobs, anything from sweeping floors, cleaning houses, doing lightweight construction, and anything I could get that's honest, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all good if the system would have just let us alone instead of when you come back, you're liable to look at an empty spot. Where your tent and everything else was.
So you mean you're going out there trying to work, making... I know you're not making $1,000 a day, but
no,
you're doing your best.
Right.
And then you come back and you're worse off than you were when you started.
Exactly. That has been the problem.
Tell the people out there, again, what can you realistically hope to make in a day doing odd jobs, recycling, and the things that you do? And I know that homeless people work very hard, a lot of them.
It all depends on where you work that particular day.
But all right, just give us an idea. What might be a good day? What might be a bad day?
I'd say a good day is $50 to $75.
You can make that much?
Yes.
And what would be a bad day for you where you didn't do as well as you'd hoped, but you got something?
$5.
Okay. And are there days where you can't make anything?
When it rains and the weather is really bad or you're sick and you can't go out. Those bad days.
Now, let me understand this, though. Working odd jobs, doing what you can do. If you've got a tent, you can get enough money to buy food and survive, basically. Is that correct?
Yes.
But can you get enough money for the first, last, and security deposit on an apartment?
If we would have been left alone, because it accumulates.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
You mean you could get a little ahead.
Yes.
And if you just had left alone, then eventually you might have gotten enough money and found a place.
Exactly.
So you really can get a little. It might take you a while, but you could do it,
yes.
You think. Joanna, Pam, you agree with that? You think you might have a chance to get ahead working odd jobs and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
And do you work, Joanna?
No, not at this time.
But you've tried.
Recycle.
You, but that's
odd
work.
Jobs.
You recycle. You do what? And Pam, I know you do.
Yes, I do.
So you do make some money,
yes.
Right? So everybody should know you're not just there eating bonbons and watching soap operas in your tent, right?
I work every single day.
Every single day. Al, how about you? Do you do any work?
Oh, yes, yes. I do construction work, but most of the time, not most of the time, but some of the time you go get a job, and because if you don't have no ID, you're able to get a job with on a payroll.
Yes.
So you got to do kind of like what they call under the table work.
And then they don't give you as good a pay, huh?
You know, you do your work, then they'll take off and won't pay you. And the moving an apartment costs, what, minimum $1,500, unless you're very lucky and know somebody. And if you want an apartment, you got to, and if you live in a motel, displaced people, that's what we call them. You know, they pay like $900 to $1,000 a month.
Right.
And they, on a fixed income, they said, well, why don't you save your money? How can you save your money when you only get $900 a month? They can't. Mm-hmm. They don't even have food to eat. They got to go out and hustle.
Right.
And they want them to go get a house. You know, this is real talk. You know, real talk.
Real talk is it's tough and they don't give you enough to get out of the mess.
You don't get enough to get out of it. You know, even the people in the motel, they said, well, mm-hmm. you're there because you want to be. Why don't you rent an apartment? You rent an apartment, you can't, where are you going to get the money from? They said, well, save it. $900 to stay a month you pay $900 to stay 1 month in a motel. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I understand. Okay, folks out there in radio land,
yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for the static that we had there. Those numbers to call in are 877-NOBODY-8 or 866-LEFT. And I have somebody at the microphone. And your name is?
Lori Bailey.
Lori Bailey. Lori, welcome to the Homelessness Marathon. Are you a homeless person?
Yes, I am. I've been out here for the past couple of years now. I was lucky to get off the street last year to go take care of my mother through in-home support. But she just recently passed away, and me and my husband are back out here again.
Well, we're certainly sorry to hear about your mom.
Thank you.
And tell us how come you were in a house? I mean, did you try to get other work? What happened that you fell back on?
Me and my husband moved from Modesto, California down here. He was working at a trucking company, and I ended up getting custody of my oldest daughter, and she wanted to be near her family, so we moved back to Fresno. And that's when everything kind of took a turn. She started doing things that a normal teenager would do. She's running away, and then we lost our income. My husband lost his job, and then we lost our apartment, and we ended up out here. And in between the apartment and going and taking care of my mother, we had lost all of our stuff due to the Fresno Rescue Mission, going up on the hill and throwing the stuff away in the dumpster.
Okay, now this is an important point. And to the people in the engineering back there, the sound quality is really terrible. We're cranked too high back here, so I don't know what's going on. I hope you can fix it. Now, I have heard allegations that the people at the Fresno Rescue Mission have sent out kind of goon squads.
Yes.
That destroy people's property with no legal authority, without the police being around.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Have you personally seen this?
Me and my husband was at the doctor's office at the Pavarello, and one of our friends come running in and said, they're throwing your stuff away. They're throwing your stuff away. So my husband takes off, and he goes over there to find out what was going on, and he come to find out that Reverend R.C. had sent his squad up on the hill to throw things away. And my husband went to go talk to him, and the only thing that he could tell him is that the Fresno County told him to do it. Well, my husband and him had a big argument. He called him the Diablo himself. He slammed the doors, and his pictures fell off his wall. He came back to the CC at the Pavarello and started having heart problems, And he went to get his medication out of his pocket. He didn't have it. Well, we left it in our stuff on the hill, and Reverend R.C. had threw his heart medication away. It's $174 a bottle, and we don't have the money to pay for it.
Now, I should say that Reverend R.C. testified on the city's behalf in the case that you guys, the lawsuit you guys won to get that injunction. Reverend R.C. spoke on the city's behalf.
Yeah, he was there.
And so did Jim Connell of the Pavarello House, the head of it. So that the rescue mission and the Pavarello House, which for people around the country who don't know, the big overnight shelter and the big day shelter, they are on the side of the city in the kind of behavior that you're talking about.
Yes.
But when the rescue mission thugs, or whatever you want to call them, came around.
Yeah, when my husband had came back, and then we almost had to call the paramedics for him because he was having heart problems, I went over there to talk to Reverend R.C., and I told him, you're going to call the police department back out here and the city because I want to talk to them. Because out of everybody up on that hill, he singled out one person, and that was me and my husband and our elder friend Esther, and threw all our stuff away. Well, he wouldn't call the police, and he threw me out of the building. So I came out crying, and I was going across the street to his thrift store that he gets donated things to that he sells to the public. Okay.
Yes.
Well, Shaggy just happened to be there, and Shaggy had asked me what's wrong, and I explained to him what was wrong. And he got on the radio and told the people of the Fresno Rescue Mission, you help this woman get up there in that dumpster and get all her things out. Well, they wouldn't let me climb up in there, so the guys that did climb up in there didn't want to get in, so they only pulled the top surface stuff off, and it was just mainly a couple blankets for three of us. Not even no clothes we got out of there, and he's the one that gave us the voucher to go to his thrift store to get these clothes. And then would not give us any voucher to go get any more clothes. He said it was not his problem.
You know, Reverend R.C. was going to be a guest on this show, and then he withdrew, saying that his board had pressured him not to be on the show. Didn't want to be answerable.
I can see why he wouldn't want to show his face.
Yes, I can see that. I think they didn't want these kinds of questions being asked about the conduct of the rescue mission and the Pavarello House. But again, just because the county, you know, when I was a kid, we used to have a saying, just because your friend tells you to jump off a bridge doesn't mean you're going to jump.
That's right.
So, all right, the county told him, clean up those homeless folks, but he doesn't have the legal authority to do that. Were there no police officers, no one with their people when they did this?
Apparently not. Me and my husband was both, like I said, at the doctor's office when our friend came in and said that the Fresno Rescue Mission boys were up on the hill doing a clean sweep.
Okay, but now, let me ask you the other question, which is, because this is something I've heard a lot, and this goes on in other cities. Did the police protect you? Did anybody come to your aid? Did anyone protect you from them?
No. The only person that came and talked to me to ask me what was wrong is I went into the thrift store and I asked them to please call the police department. And the man Shaggy, I don't know who he is, but he was the only one that had a radio for the Fresno Rescue Mission and told them boys to get up in that dumpster and help me get my stuff out.
And you have housing now?
No, I do not. I'm homeless again.
I see. And where are you living? Where do you spend? Where
I
do you
live
tonight?
Off of California and G Street. It's called The Meadow, and me and my husband's in a tent.
Well, I want to wish you the very best in terms of getting out of homelessness.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming by and speaking with us. Let me ask my distinguished panel here. Cynthia, when you're homeless, will the police protect you?
No.
Joanna?
No. Matter of fact, they call you. They will accuse you of crimes.
Pam?
Well, there's good in all things. There's the good and the bad in every one of them.
Okay, so some will, some won't.
Some will, some won't.
Al, what's your experience?
Very few, but some will.
Yep.
I have to be honest, there's a very few police officers who are really human beings.
Mm-hmm. There are a few.
My wife's wheelchair broke down, and the police officer went and got another wheelchair. The majority of, but the ones prior to that threw a wheelchair away in a trash dumpster, garbage truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of them aren't. And there's a few that's human beings. You know, they want to get paid. They don't want to run over people. Mm-hmm. They are real people like us, all of us. The rest of them, they come in. This is what they do when they mess with us. They sit there and laugh at us.
Mm-hmm.
They actually laugh while they throwing our stuff away. They actually laugh. I had them pull tasers on me. Mm-hmm. Say, get back. We're going to throw your stuff away, you know. They got some people, and the city gives them a badge and a license to shoot somebody, and that's, ain't right.
Well, listen,
and that's happened to me, you know.
We're running out of time, so there's another question I want to ask my entire panel here. And again, I'll say to engineering, I know you're trying, but the sound is just terrible. What would you want America to know? That what do you think should be done? What would you need if somebody was out there saying, I want to do right by homeless people, I'm the president, what should they do?
The people who want to do right by homeless people, the police should let them do right. A man just did 7 months in jail for flying a sign. People, you know, not, it ain't aggressive panhandling.
Flying a sign means panhandling with a sign that says, I need help.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. He did 7 months in jail for that. Somebody drives up, want to help somebody. When somebody help you, it makes them feel good, and it helps the person. They think that everybody to go out there and ask for a dollar is a drug addict. That McDonald's, every employee in McDonald's and all them other places got to be drug addicts, too, because in every front of every cash register, they got a little box handing for money.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Pam, what would you say now? Again, not just about letting you do your thing, but... What if somebody said, I want to actually help you from the government? What would you have them do?
Housing. They need affordable housing programs. And even for the people that are out here still, porta toilets, dumpsters.
You mean you should have some facilities where you are
exactly.
If you don't have a house? Let me ask you, Pam, if somebody gave you a house and paid the rent, are you the kind of person who would trash it, or are you the kind of person who would maintain it?
Of course I would maintain it.
Well, you say, of course, but people don't know that.
Well, they do now.
Joanna, what would you say? What would you like to see being done for you?
More training in a place so that I can go to get the training that I need so I can get a job and get off the street.
Okay.
Nobody likes being out here.
No.
So you're saying you need some practical assistance.
Yes,
so
training.
That you can work, right? Which
exactly.
Americans believe in that.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. And Cynthia?
And we don't need a license for or an ID.
Because you don't have one now.
We don't have any. What we need is assistance to get off the streets. We need somebody to come down and help us get our IDs back.
Mm-hmm.
Because mine has been taken twice and say, we do not have the money to run down, especially since the prices shot up so high. For your driver's license, what, $25? Something like that, you know? And then you want to go get it. You have no ID to show anything, and then that is a block in itself.
Yeah, how do you show who you are to get it?
You don't have your social security card, you don't have anything. So they tell you, you have to go get this before you can apply for this, even when you scrounge up the money.
So you're stuck in a maze, and you need help with it.
Yes.
Fair enough. I got a gentleman at the mic. We can maybe talk to him for a minute. What's your name, sir?
I'm Ron Martin. And I'm not homeless now, but in the early 90s, I lived in my van while I was going to graduate school. And I just think it'd be interesting to hear from some homeless people about the job situation. Training's great, but just because you got the training, can you get the job?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having trouble at my age starting a career. And rent has gone up so much that somebody earning minimum wage is going to find all his money going just for rent. And there needs to be more infrastructure for the homeless, for people at the lower end of the economic scale.
Well, I want to thank you very much for that. You can stay there for a second. I know we're going to get cut off soon, and I cannot hear the booth to know when. So I'm going to thank everybody, even if we have a few more seconds, because I don't know how many seconds we've got. But Al, Pam, Joanna, and Cynthia, I want to thank you all very much, and I want to wish you the very best with getting housing. And well, let's just take another comment here from the mic. What are you trying to do to get out of the situation you're in?
I'm a substitute teacher, which is about double minimum wage, and that's enough to pay the rent on a shared apartment. And I tried training at City College in maintenance mechanics, but after being rejected quite a few times, I think they just look at me and decide I'm too old to do that kind of work. And I had work as a nurse assistant. It's hard to get into the training for licensed vocational nurse. So I might be substitute teaching for a long time.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much, and I want to wish you the very best, and good luck with getting out of homelessness. We're really just about out of time. So once again, I'm going to say thank you to Al, to Pam, to Joanna, to Cynthia. I'm going to hope that you all can find housing soon. And if you can't find housing, I hope you win a big judgment from the city and get rich that way.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you all. We'll be back after a short break.
You are listening to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, produced in conjunction with KFCF Community Radio for Fresno, California.
And this is KFCF 88.1 FM, and we've been listening to a previously recording of the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, which was held in Fresno earlier.